Shalom, welcome to ASJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Shlomo, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTF members, I want to speak about the very crucial presidential election that is coming up on November 6th. As we feared, after the conventions and after Labor Day, now that the campaign has started, Barack Hussein Obama has taken a clear lead in the polls. And I am convinced that that lead is real. There are three different national tracking polls. Tracking polls mean that they're polls that are taken of voters daily. The Gallup tracking poll shows Obama leading by 5%, which is a significant margin. The Rasmussen tracking poll, which usually trends Republican, that's usually favorable to Republicans, the Rasmussen tracking poll, that poll shows Obama leading by 4%. The Ipsos Reuters tracking poll shows Obama leading by 4%. So the three national tracking polls, Gallup, Rasmussen, and Ipsos, that had a pretty good track record in the past presidential election, they came almost to the point, almost to the exact percentage of where the candidates wound up last time on election day, so they have a pretty good track record in terms of predicting results in presidential elections. These three national tracking polls all show Obama ahead by 4 or 5% of the vote. But of course, the election is going to be decided not by the national popular vote, but by state voting, because the election in American politics is decided by the Electoral College. Each state has a certain number of Electoral College votes, and if you win a state, you get all the Electoral College votes in that state. For instance, if a state has 15 or 16 Electoral College votes and one of the candidates wins in that state, even if he wins by just one vote, he gets all the Electoral College votes from that state. So state-by-state polls are actually more important because the Electoral College is what decides who is going to be the next president. You need 270 Electoral College votes to win. And in a state-by-state analysis, Barack Hussein Obama is even further ahead. He is leading substantially in the Electoral College. So we have a really bad situation on our hands. How did we get to this? How did we get to this point where you have a president with the worst economy since the 1930s? The first time there is unemployment over 8%, even official unemployment over 8%, the real unemployment rate is over 40% if you count underemployed, unemployed, part-time employed who are seeking full-time employment, and people who just dropped out of the workforce. If you count everybody who's part of the adult population that isn't working, it's actually more than 40%. But even if you look at the official, even the official pathetic rigged statistics, this is the first time since the 1930s that for more than 40 months we've had unemployment over 8%. Obama promised that it would never go over 8%. Obama promised it would be below 6% by now. Obama said that if he cannot solve this problem within 3 years, that his presidency would be a one-term proposition, that he wouldn't even be able to run for re-election if he couldn't solve this problem, if he couldn't do what he was promising to do. He hasn't kept any of his promises, any of his major promises. The situation has gotten much worse. And yet, we have seen we have seen where Barack Hussein Obama is leading in all the polls now. How could we get to this point? How could this possibly be? The country is moving toward bankruptcy, has over $1 trillion budget deficit every year. Barack Hussein Obama has added $6 trillion to the national debt. America is now spending at the type of debt rate that led to the catastrophes in Greece, Ireland, and Portugal. There's no question that America's headed toward a cliff. And yet, with all of these statistics and all of these facts, Barack Hussein Obama is leading in the polls? How could that possibly be? The reason is the news media, the biased news media. We have warned you all along that Mitt Romney's real opponent is not Barack Hussein Obama, it's the news media. And unless Mitt Romney attacks news media bias, he's going to face this media bias till election day. We have said from the start that the answer is Republicans, conservatives should immediately attack the news media for their bias and should start boycotts against the media, should start boycotting their advertisers. That is the answer. If the advertisers were being boycotted and the media was facing economic problems, and they already have serious economic problems, by the way. They're already having problems in the age of the internet. NBC, CBS, ABC, they're not able to hold their viewers the way they were because people are going online now and not watching television anymore. The time has come to go after the media with boycotts, especially boycotts of advertisers. And that should be done against television. It should be done against newspapers like the New York Nazi Times. This is something we've advocated for decades. If Romney would continually attack media bias, and if the Tea Party and other Republicans and conservatives would start boycotts, I guarantee you the media would be on the defensive and the media would start reporting more fairly and giving both sides of the story and stop this incredible, unbelievable propaganda campaign on behalf of Barack Hussein Obama. We're going to give you an illustration of how this campaign works in a moment. But because Romney and the Republicans and the conservatives are letting the media get away with this, that's why they're once again brainwashing the American public and selling Barack Hussein Obama. They did the same thing in 2008. They're doing it again. And nobody's learned anything from 2008. Now, let me give you just one out of a million examples of how media bias is shaping this election and is succeeding in brainwashing the American voters and is moving us toward a situation where the odds are now favoring Obama's re-election. Let me give you a quick example. We had the Republican convention, we had the Democrat convention. The media went after the Republican convention on every possible front they could find. They said the Republican platform is going to do terrible things to women because the platform is pro-life. They, day and night, they reported, and it's the Republican platform is the same platform the Republican Party has had since the 1960s. Has something bad happened to women because of that? Why hasn't Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan and the other Republicans said, what the hell are you talking about? This is the same baloney that you've been telling people every 4 years since the days of Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan and all the Republican candidates. I mean, does anyone really believe that the Republicans are going to take away women's contraceptives? I mean, this is the type of nonsense that has been told to people every 4 years. But this year, the media really went after the Republicans on that issue. Now, compare that to how the Republicans treated the Democrat platform. Compare that to this. The Democrats, for the first time, took the words God and Jerusalem out of their platform. Every 4 years, the Democrats lie and say Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, which no Democrat president and no Democrat really supports. But they lie to get the votes of sick, self-hating Jews that continue to vote Democrat. It's a lie. And they put the word God in. I mean, they believe in God. Maybe they believe in Allah. But in any event, this year, they weren't even pretending. This year, you had that convention packed with Obama-supporting Arabs, Muslims, and blacks who hate Jerusalem and hate Jews and hate Israel with a passion. And so they deliberately took that word Jerusalem out. They took any mention of Jerusalem out of that platform. They weren't even faking it this year like they did in 2008. Now, of course, what they said in 2008 wasn't relevant because we saw Obama's policy is that Jews shouldn't even be allowed to live in Jerusalem. Obama has said that Jerusalem is an illegal settlement and the Jews shouldn't even be allowed to live there. He spent the first 2 years of his administration telling Netanyahu that you're not allowed to allow Jews to move into Jerusalem. Jerusalem belongs to the Arabs, and that Israel has to go back to the pre-1967 suicide border. So Obama, he has made it clear that he wants to give Jerusalem to his Muslim brothers and that he wants to destroy Israel. He wants Israel to commit suicide and go back to the pre-1967 borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. that are the Auschwitz lines, that Israeli leaders have referred to as Auschwitz lines, Holocaust lines, suicide lines. That is Obama's declared policy. If he gets a second term and never has to face the voters again, he is going to work relentlessly to literally get Israel to commit national suicide. That's his policy. But in 2008, the Democrats were still threw this thing in their platform to try to play games with Jewish voters, even though it wasn't Obama's policy. This year, they weren't even pretending. They took it out of the platform for the first time in decades. And they took the word God out of the platform for the first time because of their anti-religious bias and hatred. The only religion they like is Islam. And so, you would think that the media, the same media that was hysterically attacking the Republican platform and paying such close attention to what happens with the Republican platform every night, Diane Sawyer, that slut, and all of these other evil people, Brian Williams, Diane Sawyer, all these other evil beasts on the network television programs that were reporting day and night on the, oh, this horrible right-wing Republican platform, it's so extreme, it's so terrible. Day and night they were reporting on this. They didn't say a word. They refused to report. They refused to report or even mention the fact that the Democrats took the words God and Jerusalem out of the platform. Refused to even mention it. Can you imagine if something comparable had happened on the Republican side? The Republicans didn't even do anything. They didn't even change anything or do anything different. And the media was attacking them day and night on their platform. I mean, this type of media bias is unbelievable. And the Republicans and Romney let them get away with it. But that's just the beginning of the story. Then Obama and his campaign realized that even though the media wasn't reporting it, in the Jewish community this would be known, and it would be reported on Fox, and it would be reported, you know, on the non-biased part of the media, the fairer sections of the media like Fox and talk radio was being reported about Jerusalem and God. So he decided he's going to put the words God and Jerusalem back in. So they introduce a resolution in the convention to put the words God and Jerusalem back in. But at that point, because it's already, the convention is already convened, according to party rules, you need a two-thirds vote to get it in. So they decided they're going to do it by voice vote, a two-thirds voice vote. Now, you can watch it, you can see it. If you want, I urge people to go to ZooTube and see it for themselves. You can see the vote itself. There is, they said, all those in favor of the resolution, say yes, or I forgot exactly what they say, yay or yes. And they had certain people said yes. Then they said all those against, and there's no question, most of that convention was against the resolution putting God and Jerusalem back in. They were against it. They didn't even have a simple majority, let alone the two-thirds majority that party rules require. So the whole thing was a farce. The whole thing was corrupt. They introduced the resolution three times in front of the convention because the people shouting it down outnumbered the people that supported the resolution putting God and Jerusalem back in. The majority of delegates refused to put it. They didn't want to even hear about it. They didn't want it in there. All the Arabs and Muslims and black Jew haters in that convention were screaming on the top of their lungs against Jerusalem and against God. And so, and this was, and you can see all of this. Finally, the third time, they decided to push it through the mayor of Los Angeles, who's the chairman of the convention, corruptly, fascistically, anti-democratically, said, yeah, I think there's a two-thirds vote here. Two-thirds? There wasn't even a majority vote. If anything, two-thirds of the delegates were against it. And when he said that, you saw all the blacks who dominated that convention, and the Arabs and the Muslims all screaming, and that was most of the convention were blacks, Muslims, Arabs, all these different groups. That was a majority of the convention there. They were booing the mention of the word Jerusalem. The minute the word Jerusalem was mentioned, they're booing and they're showing their vicious hatred, the vicious Jew hatred. I mean, this was like trying to speak to a meeting of the Nazi Party. The hatred was so vicious. You could see the vicious hatred. This was like a Farrakhan rally. And all these Hamas Farrakhan delegates booing at the mention of the word Jerusalem. Now, you would think this would be the lead-off story on the news. I mean, this was a big story. A resolution is pushed through without the support of a two-thirds majority in violation of party rules. The whole thing was rigged and corrupt. The delegates are booing Jerusalem and booing Israel and booing and shouting down God. I mean, this should be the number one story. Every American should know about this. It was never even reported. The only network that reported it was Fox. If you don't watch Fox, you would never have known that it happened. NBC, CBS, ABC, PBS, MSNBC. Never bothered, was not even worthy of being mentioned. CNN and MSNBC mentioned it not on prime time, but mentioned it only to say that this is a minor thing, this is not a major issue. But the three big networks, the three traditional big networks, NBC, CBS, and ABC, on their nightly broadcasts, on their nightly news broadcasts, which had more viewers because of the conventions, had heightened number of viewers, never mentioned it. When the speeches were being given at the 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Eastern Standard Time slot, at the prime time slot, when the speeches were being given and when a very large number of Americans had tuned in, no one mentioned that this had happened that day. No one even brought it up. Now, when the Republicans were speaking on their prime time slot, all the networks were bringing up, oh, yes, Todd Akin, and just things that had nothing to do with Mitt Romney and have nothing to do with Paul Ryan, have nothing to do with the Republican ticket for president. They brought up everything possible to make the Republicans look like they were out of their minds. But the Democrats had the most outrageous, racist, anti-Semitic, hateful booing and contempt that they showed. I mean, Nazi-type hate that you could cut with a knife at that convention. It was so thick you could cut it with a knife at that convention. And it was never even shown, never even mentioned. No one ever made a big deal about it. And Romney and the Republicans let the media get away with this. Now, I'm complaining about Romney and the Republicans on this video. That doesn't mean we're not supporting them. We have to support them. Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are the last chance we have to stop America and Israel from facing an unbelievable catastrophe because they're the only alternative to Obama. We have to defeat Obama, so we have no choice but to support Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. But the politically correct, wimpy campaign that we see being run here is something that is absolutely frustrating beyond words, and it's exactly the reason why the left has been able to destroy America. This is why the left has been able to do to America and to Western civilization what the left has been able to do. They get away with it because of this wimpy, pathetic, defensive, apologetic, politically correct reaction from so-called conservatives and from so-called Republicans. That's the problem. Now, what's the solution? Two things. The solution would be, if I was running Mitt Romney's campaign, if I was running the Romney-Ryan campaign, the solution would be simple. Number one, as we said, go after media bias and get your supporters, tens of millions of conservatives and Tea Party people and evangelical Christians and others, to initiate boycotts of advertisers. Believe me, the media would panic if that happened. They would panic. And you would see they'd be bending over backwards, to be fair to Romney and Ryan, if that happened. They would bend over backwards. But no, we can't do that. No. But that's the only sane thing to do. Otherwise, you're going to have this endless media bias and the people never get the truth. The people will never see the facts about Obama. That's number one. Go after media bias. Number two, the Romney campaign and the Republicans should be exposing the fact that Obama is a Muslim, anti-white, anti-Semitic racist. If they did this, I guarantee you, Obama would lose. If they had commercials of Obama making anti-white racist remarks from his book in his own words, in his own voice, like we have done on our videos, we've shown you in his own voice, in his own words, attacking white people, making racist comments against white people. If they had even one of their independent PACs do this, forget about it. If they don't want to do it, okay. They're too wimpy to do it. Fine. Have one of your independent PACs do it. Give JTF the money. We'll gladly do it. We'll gladly run the commercials. In his own words, showing him doing this. And then have commercials showing who he's associated with and demand that he repudiate these people. Remember how the media demanded that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan repudiate Todd Akin and demand that Todd Akin, the candidate for the Senate from Missouri, who made this dumb statement that he made about rape, whatever the statement was, they demanded that he repudiate, that they demanded that he immediately, that Romney and Ryan immediately condemn Todd Akin and immediately withdraw their support of him and demand that he withdraw from the race. I mean, they went hysterical over that issue. We should make the same demands on Barack Hussein Obama for his associations with racist Jew haters like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. We should show pictures and have video of Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Louis Farrakhan, Jeremiah Wright, and all the racist and anti-Semitic statements they've made, and say, look at Barack Hussein Obama's supporters and friends and the people he associated with all his life. That is the campaign that should be run. If that happened, if we went after the media and went after their advertisers and exposed Obama's racist, Muslim, and anti-Semitic past, I guarantee you, those poll numbers would look very different right now. Oh yes, the left would be screaming and yelling and making all their false charges. They'd be screaming McCarthyism when in fact, you know, everything they accuse Republicans and conservatives of are all, it's all false. And they are guilty 1,000 times over of everything they accuse everyone else of. They're the biggest hypocrites, liars, and frauds, and two-faced phonies on the face of the earth. But they'd be screaming and yelling and making all these accusations. Doesn't matter. They did that in past elections when Republicans did go after Democrats, and the Republicans still won. Who cares what the left says? Now do you see why JTF is so important? Can you imagine if we had a big budget? Can you imagine if we were a mass movement? Can you imagine if we were running advertisements and commercials and our campaign was out there exposing these facts? Can you imagine if we were there doing this? Imagine if JTF had the resources to reach voters in Ohio, in the swing states, in Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Colorado, Iowa, New Hampshire, all the swing states. Can you imagine what a difference that would make? Oh, boy. And we wouldn't even have to spend big money on television commercials. We would just, if we were a big movement, we would, through our videos on YouTube and other places, we'd have huge numbers of people uploading our videos all over the place. If YouTube gave us a hard time, we'd find some other, if we have a mass movement, we can find some other medium that will do it. And we'll make sure that huge numbers of people would see it, and we'd make sure that it would be highly publicized, and you better believe that then you'd have Fox discuss, if JTF were a mass movement, Fox would be talking about these issues, the talk radio people, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, all the talk radio people would be discussing it, and it would eventually get to the point where the media would have to cover it, and when they'd have to ask Romney and Obama about it, they would become big issues in the campaign. And that would sink Barack Hussein Obama once and for all. But that's not the situation. Because, you know why? Because JTF has been marginalized. Because Sheldon Adelson, with all of his billions, gives money to PACs that are afraid of their own shadow. That just talk about tax cuts and taxes and, you know, they're terrified to touch the issues that would really pulverize Obama among white working class voters. Who are the swing voters? The swing voters in Iowa, Florida, and these other states, Virginia. The swing voters are the white working class voters. They wouldn't vote for Obama if they knew that he was a racist. They wouldn't vote for Obama if they knew everything about his history and if they knew that he was a Muslim. If they knew all of this, they would not vote for him. Enough of them wouldn't vote for him to swing the election. And so, We're not going to become a mass movement by November 6th. We got to live with what we have to live with here. This is the situation. This is the situation. This is the hand we've been dealt in this poker game. We got to live with this. That doesn't mean in the future that a movement, that our movement won't eventually someday become a mass movement. But I just want you to get a little idea of what a different world it would be if we were a mass movement. Imagine what we could do in terms of the American political scene, and imagine what we could do for Israel. Imagine in Israel what a difference we could make. Because the same thing I'm telling you about America, we'd have an even bigger impact on little Israel. How we long for the day when a Sheldon Adelson or some real big tycoon like that decides to make JTF his pet organization. Sheldon Adelson gave tens of millions of dollars to Newt Gingrich. What a waste. Can you imagine what a difference it would make if we had that type of money? And so I appeal to all of my fellow JTFers. We got to do everything we can. It's not over yet, by the way. I don't want you to get the impression that the race is over. It's true. This has not been a good week, and the situation looks very difficult now. But it's not over. We still have four debates coming up. And anything can happen in politics. It's still possible. We have nearly 2 months to go. It's still possible to win this election. So we've got to do everything we can. We must do everything we can. Maybe if God sees us trying our best, maybe that will help convince God to move things in the right direction, because God can do things, can create events that could cause problems for Obama before the election. So we don't know what's going to be. All we know is each one of us as individuals is in this world to try to make this a better world. That's why we're here. God wants you to try to make this a better world. God wants you to love your fellow human beings, and to love him, and to love the Bible, and to love the truth, and justice, and righteousness. And he wants you to do everything you can to try to make this a better world. That's the real reason why you're in this world. That's the real reason why all of us are here. We've got to try our best. And so, I ask you, please help us with our videos. JTF has the best anti-Obama videos on the internet. Help us with our English videos. Help us with our Hebrew videos. We got to reach the people of Israel. Israel, if Obama's reelected, God forbid, which now looks very possible, Israel's going to be in a lot of trouble. So help us with our English videos. Help us with our Hebrew videos. Help us on YouTube and help us on Facebook. And help us with the forum. By the way, I don't want people to get the impression now that we're certainly, this is not hopeless. Again, let me reiterate, this is not hopeless. We still have to fight, and we have to fight to the last minute. And things can turn around. Things have turned around in past campaigns where the situation was even worse than this. So this can still be turned around. We have to do our share, try our best to make a difference. Help us with our videos on YouTube and Facebook. That means mirroring the videos. To mirror a video means that you put the video on your YouTube page. You take the video, upload it on your YouTube page. And you could just copy all the things that we have in the video and put the same video on your page. And please favorite and comment and like the videos. Also like our videos on our English and Hebrew Facebook pages. Go to our English and Hebrew Facebook pages. Make sure to like our Hebrew and English Facebook pages, and make sure to like all our videos. And help us with the forum. Be active on the forum. Make the forum an attractive place. We've gotten a lot of new members. A lot of new people joining. We have over 5,000 registered members on the English forum. We have 3,500 registered members on the Hebrew forum. So please join the forum. Participate. Open threads or respond on threads. Make the forum an interesting, attractive place so that people who join the forum or people who are thinking about joining, because we have thousands of people who are not members who look at the forum, who just come to visit the forum because they see our videos on YouTube or they see us on Facebook. And so they come and visit our forum, and they may not have joined, but they like to read what's on the forum. Make it an attractive place. And most important, of course, is financial support. if you give us financial support, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive you if you do less of the other things. The financial support is the most important, because that's where we face the biggest problem here. Because our budget is a joke compared to what's needed. And so that's the most important. People can help us with their credit cards by just going on the main page and clicking on the Donate Now button on our main page, on JTF.org, the main page. We also have a Donate Now button on the Hebrew main page, if people want to click on the top. On the top of both pages. And we have, and the Donate Now button on the Hebrew main page is in English as well, by the way. And people very conveniently with their credit card can help us out. Or people can send us, as many great JTFers do, checks, money orders, or cash donations to our post office box. Please, we need your help. And this is really a critical time. Help us. Help us, because we're really, I think we all understand just how dangerous this situation is. And you've seen how right we've been on all of these issues. And you've seen how effective our videos are, how effective our message is. You've seen this with your own eyes. Isn't it about time that JTF had the support and the backup that is needed so that JTF's message could reach large numbers of people in both English and in Hebrew? Isn't that what we really need now? Obviously it is. Anyway, I want to thank our members again, and God bless all the members who have been helping us. God bless you. I thank you. God bless you, your family, your loved ones, to all the wonderful JTFers who have been helping us, who've been helping us financially, who've been helping us upload videos, who've been helping promote the videos. All of you who have been helping, God bless you. Let's make an extra effort now, because this is a very, very dangerous time. If Obama's reelected, there's a real, real dangerous situation here. Very dangerous. We just can't sit back and watch this. Obama's reelection, God forbid, will be a catastrophe. I don't want to worry people and get people aggravated. You know, I love JTFers, and I don't want you to get aggravated, but I have to tell you that Obama's reelection would really, really be a very serious danger to us. It really is I'm not saying it's the end of the world. God is still stronger than Obama. God is stronger than Obama. So I'm not saying it's the end of the world, but, I think it will be a very serious threat to us. And God expects us to act through natural means. When we see a threat, you've got to respond accordingly. And this is a very serious threat. Okay. Anyway, let's get to our many great questions this week from our great JTFers. And we start off with Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of Elie Wiesel?" Unquote. Elie Wiesel is the ultimate example of all the of why we have so many problems as a people. This self-hating Jew supports Barack Hussein Obama, defends Barack Hussein Obama, defends all the Jew haters and all the enemies of Israel, and then he says he's a Holocaust survivor. This is what he learned from the Holocaust. To support a black Muslim who says Israel should go back to the pre-67 suicide borders? He wants an Auschwitz now. He was in Auschwitz. Now he wants an Auschwitz for Israel? He's a disgusting person. An absolutely disgusting person. A horrible person. And this is precisely these are the types of people that we're fighting against. These are the type of people that we have to offer an alternative to in order to save the Jewish people. Anyway, thank you very much, Chicago Jew. And now we go to the great Yamashmodu Obama, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, was Albert Einstein ever a Zionist?" Unquote. No, unfortunately, he was not. He said, first of all, during the Holocaust, he said that the Jews should resist passively. They should passively go to the gas chambers and the ovens. They shouldn't violently resist the Nazis. Can you imagine this? They're murdering millions of Jews, throwing them in gas chambers and ovens, and the Jews should be passive about it. What a sick mentality. He may have been brilliant in science, but when it comes to Jewish survival, this was a self-hating Jew. And then he was offered the presidency of Israel. David Ben-Gurion, despite Einstein's long history of being a self-hating Jew, David Ben-Gurion, or maybe because of it, because David Ben-Gurion was a self-hating Jew, David Ben-Gurion offered to make him the first president of Israel. And he said no. He said he doesn't believe in Israel. He said he doesn't think it's fair to the Arabs if there's a Jewish state. In other words, the Arabs have 23 states. The Jews can't have even one little state. That's the type of mentality. And this was after the Holocaust that this piece of garbage was making these statements. Anyway, I'm no fan of Albert Einstein when it comes to... he was definitely a self-hating Jew and an immoral, evil person, even if he was a brilliant scientist. Anyway, thank you very much, Yimach Shmo, to Obama. And now we go to the great Brennan fan who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you say to the leftist libertarians that are more than 50% of under 30 Republicans today, unquote. Well, Brennan fan, I'm not as pessimistic as you are about that. I don't think that they're over 50%, or at least I hope not, of under 30 Republicans, because they, you know, Ron Paul, Yimach Shmo, who was the libertarian candidate, did not get over 50% of the under 30 Republican vote. He lost that segment of Republican voters like he lost every other segment. So, you know, I don't think it's as bad as you may think it is. I agree with you that there is a deterioration in terms of morals among young so-called conservatives and young Republicans, that the younger demographics are less moral and less inclined, even the ones who call themselves Christians, are less moral and less inclined to believe in biblical principles. I agree with that. That's a very serious challenge, a very serious problem. And, they're fighting God. They're fighting against God. They're fighting against what God says in the Bible. And there are consequences for that. So one would hope that people will wake up and realize that that's a crazy thing to do. Anyway, thank you very much, Brennan fan. And now we go to the great British Sword. It's good to see you again, British Sword. British Sword writes, and I quote, Der Chaim, of what use is a handgun when you can't carry the damn thing outdoors where the thugs are, unquote. I agree with you completely. I agree with you completely. Well, you know, British Sword, that our position on the Second Amendment to the Constitution, which is the right to bear arms, is that people who are law-abiding citizens should be permitted to carry firearms and should be permitted to bear arms to defend themselves, to defend their businesses, to defend their homes, and to defend their families. If someone is a law-abiding citizen and doesn't have a criminal history or criminal record, they should be permitted to carry firearms. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, thank you, British Sword. And now we go to the great West Coast JTF. And the great West Coast JTF, of course, started the great initiative of creating the JTF archive site where you can get JTF audio and video programs going back several years. And you can go to jtfarchive.org. If you go to jtfarchive.org, you can see for several years back JTF audio and video programs. It's a fantastic site. And that, again, that's thanks to West Coast JTF. West Coast JTF writes, and I quote, what do you say to those who say that Iran's nuclear program is now too dispersed, too far underground, and too difficult to destroy from the air, unquote? I say that that's not true. Enough of Iran's nuclear program is exposed and can be destroyed. And even the underground parts of the program, you know, you can have ground troops come in and place explosives in the underground, too. They can take over the underground facilities, put explosives in there, and then get back on the planes and leave. Israel has done things like that in Entebbe and other places. Israel has done things like that, and the Israelis certainly have a more effective fighting force than the Iranians. So, you know, it is doable. It is doable. And we really are at the point, we're coming to the point of no return. Israel has to act very quickly here. Anyway, thank you very much, West Coast JTF. And now we go to the great Selhar, who is very active on both the Hebrew and the English forums. And Selhar writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, why do Limbo, Beck, and others who have mass audience and financial wealth, why don't or can't they start a right-wing mass movement, unquote? A great question, Selhar, and I think the reason is because they don't try. Limbo says that he's an entertainer and he's making money and he isn't trying to start a movement. He just wants to have good ratings and a show with a large audience. Glenn Beck, to a certain degree, did try to start a movement. But his main focus has been on the shows and on the programs and on ratings. If I had a program with millions of people watching, my focus would be to start a movement. I wouldn't want to just have a program with ratings and just have people tune in and listen to my advertisers so I could make money. I would want money so I could actually use it for the movement also. My goal would be a mass movement. That would be the goal, to use it as... See, they view their shows, usually they, most of the radio talk show people use, view their shows as the goal. For me, the goal would be to change history. And to change history, you need to actually create a movement. Anyway, thank you, Tselhar. And now, the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, writes, and I quote, "Give a commentary of each abomination, Princess Diana, Bill Clinton, and Boy George. What do each have in common?" Unquote. Okay, great question. They're all evil. That's one thing they all have in common. Princess Diana, of course, spent her time supporting the Bosnian Nazis against the Serbs in Yugoslavia, having an affair with an Egyptian Muslim Nazi. And she, in fact, when she was killed in the accident, it was when she was with her Egyptian Nazi, Muslim Nazi boyfriend. She was a completely amoral, phony, disgusting person. And Bill Clinton, of course, Bill Clinton spent years of his presidency obsessively trying to get Israel to commit suicide. And he would have succeeded to get Israel to agree to some suicidal agreement. I mean, God always will prevent Israel from completely destroying herself, but it would have been terrible. It would have been a horrific catastrophe for Israel if not for the fact that Yasser Arafat, the Arab Nazi Yasser Arafat, the Arab Hitler, saved Israel. The Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat was offered by Barack, by Ehud Barak at the Camp David talks hosted by Bill Clinton. The Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, offered Yasser Arafat 97% of Judea and Samaria, half of Jerusalem, the entire Gaza district, and portions of the Negev to make up for the 3% of Judea and Samaria that would stay in Israeli hands. In other words, a retreat to the pre-67 suicide borders. That's what Ehud Barak, the Prime Minister of Israel, offered Yasser Arafat. And Arafat rejected it. He turned him down. Bill Clinton also tried to broker a deal where Israel would surrender the entire Golan Heights to the Assad regime, the murderous Nazi Assad regime in Syria. And again, God miraculously protected Israel by having Arabs that are dumb enough to say no. the Israelis were willing to give this Nazi Syria the entire Golan Heights, and the Syrians were so stupid they said no. We also want parts of the Galilee. They started making new demands, and so fortunately, God saved Israel from Bill Clinton. But Bill Clinton's intention was to get Israel to commit national suicide. He and his wife Hillary Sodom Clinton are Jew haters. They've always been Jew haters. On Israel, they are just as bad as Obama. Just as bad. The number one guest in the Oval Office when Bill Clinton was president was Yasser Arafat, this mass murderer. Clinton obsessively did everything day and night. People don't remember this in the 90s. He worked day and night. He spent half the time in the last 2 years in office trying to get Israel and the PLO terrorists to agree to a suicidal agreement for the Jewish state. I mean, he was obsessed with it. Thank God that lunatic, that insane lunatic Arafat was too stupid to accept it. But the Clintons are a very serious danger to Israel and to America. And now Boy George. Boy George is an example of the sick, decadent behavior that we have in the so-called entertainment industry for many years now. And this is a man who dresses like a woman. I think he wants to be a woman. I don't know what I assume he wants to be a woman. I don't know what he's thinking when he puts makeup and lipstick. I think he wears lipstick, but he looks like a woman. And, you know, he is pushing a sodomite agenda. and is part of the decadence in our society. And so it's unfortunate, but this is these people all represent, the three people you're citing here, Princess Diana, Bill Clinton, and Boy George, all represent the decline of civilization and of a moral society. Anyway, thank you so much, Dr. Dan. And now we go to the great Dan Ben-Noach, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, please share your thoughts on the Democrats' removal and reinstatement of God in Jerusalem in their platform, unquote. Dan, you read my mind. You always do that. I mean, you do that pretty frequently. Your questions are so, I mean, you know exactly what's on my mind and what I'm going to be speaking about on these shows. But no, you read my mind. This was what my whole opening was about. I already spoke about it in my opening. This was my entire opening. You absolutely, I mean, it's incredible how Dan Ben-Noach knows exactly what we're going to speak about on these programs. Anyway, thank you, Dan, but I went into a lot of detail in the opening on this. And thank you, Dan, for all that you're doing to help us on the forum. Dan helps on the forum. He helps with the videos. He translates the Hebrew videos, all the things that Dan does. What a great person. God bless Dan Ben-Noach. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, Shalom. Where are the other Hayamin speakers and why no more videos by them? Federman, the Rav teaching, Or HaRayon, and why not others as well, unquote. Fantastic question. And I agree with you. I agree with you. We had Noam Federman. We had Gil Avraham. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was doing programs for us on the Hebrew Forum. And we have others as well. I agree with you. I would like to see others do programs on Hayamin as well. But Tag Mechir, we have the same problem on the English language forum. We've got some talented people on the English language forum who could also do videos, who are just as capable as I am, if not more so, of doing videos. They're just as capable. So we have the same problem. Yet, I mean, if you notice on the English language forum, about 90% of the videos, I've done about 90% of our videos. That's not a good situation. We should have a situation where more people do English language videos. And we have this, I think it's roughly the same percentage on the Hebrew. I think it's about the same percentage. But I agree with you. I'd like to see more people do videos and speak up and on the English and on the Hebrew, on the English and on the Hebrew forums. Anyway, thank you, Tag Mechir. And now we go to the great Imaknik, who writes, and I quote, does it worry you that Arabs from third world Arab Muslim countries are studying at universities in the U.S.? Will Arab Muslims become smarter? Unquote. Of course it worries me. Of course, it's very dangerous. We can't underestimate our enemies. They will become smarter. Of course. I mean, you give them education and look at the courses. What are the students from Iran studying here? They come here to study physics and science nuclear science and chemistry. I mean, these are the things they come here to study. Isn't it amazing? And the United States lets them in to study these things. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. And you know, they're part of affirmative action. The Arabs are part of affirmative action. In other words, even if they're dumb and even if they have low grades, they get in and they get scholarships just because they're Arabs. Just because they're Arabs and just because they're Muslims, there's discrimination in their favor. Anyway, thank you, Imaknik. And now we go to LKZ, who often has interesting posts, and he writes, and I quote, if Saturday is a day of rest because God rested, does that mean there's a day of animals and humans too, unquote. Well, there's not a day of animals. I know. I think you're referring to the fact that on a certain day, it says that God created animals, and there's a certain day God created humans. By the way, these days that are referred to in the Bible, this is allegorical. This is symbolic, according to most of Chazal. According to Harambam, I mean, if you read Guide to the Perplexed, and you read the books of the great rabbinic scholars, you see that most of this is allegorical. The Bible is not a history book. It's not a biology book. The Bible is a book to guide us in our lives. It's a book to guide you, to give you moral principles and guide you. The day when humans were created was the sixth day. And there is significance to that, to the sixth day. First of all, the Sabbath begins in the evening on the sixth day. But even before then, when humans were created, because humans were created before the Sabbath began, on the sixth day, which is really like the sixth era, and I don't want to go into all the details, but it's not literally days. But there is significance to that in Judaism. The Hebrew calendar, we now are in a period where we're coming closer to 6,000 years. Each day in creation is like 1,000 years, because it says in the Bible that a day to us is like 1,000 years to God. A day to God is like 1,000 years. And the meaning of that is that they're going to be, that at the end of 6,000 years on the Hebrew calendar, we believe the redemption is coming. And since we're only a couple of hundred years before the 6,000 year mark now on the Hebrew calendar, we're obviously getting close, and so God brought the Jews back to the land of Israel to prepare for that day, obviously. And so there is significance to the number six. Six also is Teva, also is related to Teva in Judaism. Teva means nature. Six is natural. The seventh is above nature, is spiritual. That's why Saturday, the seventh day, is spiritual and above nature. I don't want to, you know something, this may be getting a little bit too, I don't know if people like this type of Jewish spiritual talk, but you know, these are things that you read about in studying Talmud and in studying Torah Judaism. Anyway, thank you, LKZ. And now we go to the great Israeli Heart, who writes, and I quote, "Some JTF members think we should help cops save Egypt. Please explain the real Torah halachic position on evil Egypt. I sent the PM to you with a link," unquote. Yes, I saw your PM and your link, Israeli Heart. Thank you. Well, I think people know that my family on my mother's side came from Egypt. They lived in Egypt for hundreds of years, unfortunately. Egypt is a Muslim Nazi country that has worked relentlessly for over 100 years now to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. They went to war repeatedly trying to destroy Israel, trying to commit genocide against the Jews, and are still trying to do so. Egypt is Amalek. Anyone who wants to destroy Israel and the Jewish people is Amalek. And so we are not supposed to try to save them. There's nothing to save. Egypt, since ancient times, has been an evil nation. They were always evil. Since the times of Pharaoh and the terrible things that they did, murdering all the Hebrew firstborn and murdering huge numbers of Jews and the brutal slavery and raping and monstrous crimes that they committed. For thousands of years, Egypt has been an evil nation. And modern Egypt, which is still trying to commit genocide against the Jewish people. So, no, we are not supposed to be helping those that want to destroy us. Absolutely not. If there are Coptic Christians in Egypt who don't share the Islamic objective and of destroying the Jews and we're not against the Jews or Israel, fine. I don't have anything against a Coptic Christian who is not anti-Semitic and not anti-Israel and happens to be from Egypt. I, of course, have nothing against them. I think they should get out of Egypt. I don't think they should stay there, because they're living as a Christian minority in an overwhelmingly Muslim country, and I think that's crazy. I think they're in great danger. The Muslim Brotherhood has now taken over Egypt. The leaders of Egypt are people who openly praise Adolf Hitler and are members of the Muslim Brotherhood. So I would advise the Coptic Christian minority to get out of there. But it is not our job to save nations that are trying to destroy us. Absolutely not. In fact, we actually hope that what they want to do to us happens to them instead. Anyway, thank you very much, Israeli Heart. And now we go to the great Chai, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, a Dvar Torah on this week's Parasha and Haftarah." Absolutely Chai. Absolutely Chai. This week's parasha is Parashat Ki Tavo. That's the name. Parasha, by the way, is the Torah, the portion of the Torah that we read in the synagogue every week. And this week's parasha is called Parashat Ki Tavo. And there are many different things that are written about. There are many different sections of Ki Tavo and subjects that come up. But I'm just going to deal with one subject. The subject of Bikurim. Bikurim are the first fruits and vegetables and crops. The first fruits and vegetables and crops that we grow, we have to bring to the Holy Temple, to Beit HaMikdash. And this is a very difficult commandment because, you know, when a farmer plants seeds and lovingly takes care of his land, and then he sees the trees grow, and finally he gets fruits and vegetables and crops. He loves the land, and he's so happy and so excited, and he feels this is his. He worked on it. He really worked hard to make this happen. And now the very first fruits and vegetables and crops, he finally has this. He's got to bring it to the Holy Temple. He's got to bring it to Beit HaMikdash, and he can't eat it himself. Or not just eat. Forget about eating it. He can't use it to make a living and to support his family after all the work he put in. This is called Bikurim. So that's a very tough commandment here. It goes against human nature. What's the purpose of Bikurim? The purpose of Bikurim, of giving your very first fruits and vegetables and crops over to God, is to show that you're grateful to the real creator of those fruits and vegetables and crops. God gave you this. God gave you this beautiful land. God put you in this beautiful world. God gave you this beautiful life that you have. God gave you the ability to plant those trees and plant those crops and do all the other things. God gave you the rain and the ability to irrigate or to make sure that those crops would grow and be healthy. It's God that created all of this for you. And in Judaism, the worst thing is to be ungrateful. Ingratitude is a terrible thing. And to be ungrateful to God, who does everything out of the most pure altruistic reasons that we can't even comprehend, because all of us have selfish characteristics. God has no selfish characteristics. None. He doesn't need anything. He's absolutely perfect. He has no reason to need anything. You know the absolute proof that God is good? The fact that he created the world to begin with. The very fact of creation proves that God is good and wonderful and filled with love. He had no need to create the world. Look at the beautiful world he's given us. This is proof of the fact that he is good and his intentions are good and loving intentions. Otherwise, there would never have been creation. Creation in and of itself proves that there is a good God, a loving God, a wonderful God. And we have to be grateful. When another person does something good for us, we're grateful. We love that person. We're grateful to them when someone does something good for us. No one is as good to us as God. No one. God does things for us that we'll never even understand. That we'll never understand. And so we have to show our gratitude. The one thing we have to do is take the first fruits and vegetables and crops that we've grown and bring it to the Holy Temple to show God, we know what you've done and we love you and we're grateful to you. We're grateful for what you've done and we will not forget that you're the creator and you're the one that has given us these blessings. That's what we do in the mitzvah of Bikurim, of bringing the first fruits and vegetables and crops to the Holy Temple. And that is in this week's parasha, Parashat Ki Tavo. Now, you also want to know about the Haftarah. Haftarah is the portion of the prophets, of the Nevi'im, that we read in conjunction every week with the Torah portion. We also read from the prophets. And this week's Haftarah is from Sefer Yeshayahu. Sefer Yeshayahu is the book of Isaiah, Prophet Isaiah. And it's Perek Samech. Perek Samech is chapter 60. And it's Pesukim Aleph Ad Kaf Bet, which is verses 1 to 22. And, this is another beautiful part of the Prophet Isaiah, how I love reading from the Prophet Isaiah. I'm going to read a little bit of it. Kumi Ori Kiva Orech, it starts in Hebrew. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And I'll read the rest in English because I don't want, I know that people might doze off if I read too much in Hebrew. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But upon you the Lord will arise, and his glory will be seen upon you. In other words, God here, let me just explain this. God here is saying to the Jewish people, after all that, this is a period of comfort for the Jewish people, after all the terrible things the Jews experienced for thousands of years, all the suffering, the terrible suffering. God is saying to them, now you're going to arise. Your light is coming. The rest of the world is going to be in darkness, and you are going to become the light for the whole rest of the world. The rest of the world will come to you, and they'll see the light, and they'll understand. And they're going to come to you as a source of light. This is what God is saying. And you're going to see great glory. And in other words, the Jews are going to become the symbols of God in this world. They're going to be his representatives, his priests. And they're going to run the Holy Land and the Holy Temple. And the nations of the world are going to stream into Israel and stream to the Holy Temple to make their sacrifices. And the whole world is going to recognize, I'm talking about those who survive. The evil people in the world are not going to be part of this. The evil people in the world are going to go to a warmer place. They're going to a warmer climate. But Obama certainly is not going to be part of this. He and Michelle are going to be roasting. But the rest of the world, the people in the world who survive this, who are worthy, they're going to come streaming into Israel. And they're going to see the light of Israel and the Jewish people because there's going to be a great light there. And then it says, and nations shall walk at your light and kings at the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They are all gathered together and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are born on the side. Okay, now also sons and daughters. In other words, the family. Your own children are coming back to Israel. Here's the prediction of the Jews returning to the land of Israel, of course. And nations are gathered to learn from the Jews about God and Judaism and the Torah. This is what the prophet Isaiah says is going to happen in the end of days. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall throb and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea, this is all symbolic, obviously, your heart is going to be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto you. The wealth of the nation shall come unto you. The caravan of camels shall cover you. And the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all coming from Sheba. They shall bring gold and frankincense and proclaim the praises of the Lord. And it goes on and on, basically, describing for 22 beautiful verses here, how the Jews are going to become a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests, and how the law will come out of Jerusalem and the word of God will come from the land of Israel and Jerusalem, and the whole world will recognize God as the King of the world. That day is yet coming, and it's going to be a wonderful, then we're going to have the most beautiful world anyone can imagine. That's this week's Haftarah. Thank you very much, Chai. And now we go to the great Confederate Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, Der Chaim, do you think young women work at Hooters and strip clubs because they are forced to? I think Hooters uniforms are tacky, don't you? Unquote. No woman is forced to work at a strip club, and no woman is forced to work at Hooters, which is a disgusting place where they charge you 3 or 4 times as much for a hamburger or French fries or the other garbage, unhealthy heart attack food that they sell in these nasty slop joints, just so that you could see a woman that's dressed like a slut. It's horrible. It's disgusting. And these women, on the one hand, I feel sorry for these women. I don't want to denounce all of them. Some of them I feel sorry for. But no woman is forced to get involved in something like that. It's horrible. I mean, this is a complete lack of self-respect. a woman's body and a man's body are holy. God gave us these bodies for, of course, for reproduction and to create families. But not to go around and show the whole world our bodies and act like animals. Animals run around naked. Human beings are supposed to have clothes on. I mean, we if we want to be like animals and we want to act like animals and run around like naked savages, I mean, that is certainly not God's intention. That's certainly not why we were put in this world. No woman should work at Hooters, and nobody should patronize that nasty restaurant. It's a horrible place. We have one in Queens where I live. It's a horrible place. And I see the women going in there, walking in there with the way they dress. It's terrible. I mean, it's absolutely terrible. It's a disgrace. It's just a disgrace. And as far as uniforms being tacky, as far as the Hooters uniforms being tacky, I think they're an embarrassment. I think women should be embarrassed to walk around like that. It shows they have no self-respect. A woman should have self-respect. A woman has a right to demand respect from men and demand respect from all other people. But she has to also show self-respect. I mean, showing yourself off like that and acting, this is just, I mean, it's gross. It's grotesque. Anyway, thank you very much, Confederate Kahanist. And by the way, some of the women, I don't know. In Queens, I'm going to get myself into trouble saying this, but in Queens, the women that work there are affirmative action women. And why any man, I don't know, I guess some men think that they'll pay $10 for a hamburger or $15 for a hamburger just to see an affirmative action woman dressed like that. I mean, they get some sort of cheap thrill out of that. I don't know. I never got that. I never understood. Anyway, thank you, Confederate Kahanist. And now, the great Gematria writes, and I quote, Chaim HaTzadik, please tell us about Silvan Steve Shalom. Okay. Silvan Steve Shalom is actually the vice prime minister, the vice premier of Israel. Skan Rosh HaMemshala. He's supposed to be number two under Pipi. And he's a big, big macher in the Likud party. And he is married to the owner of one of the most evil Nazi newspapers in the world, Yediot Acharonot, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. He's married to the owner of that hideous anti-Semitic rag that day and night does everything they can to undermine the state of Israel and support her Arab Nazi enemies. That's his wife. And that hideous rag has a site called Ynet, which is a Nazi Jew-hating site, one of the most vicious, not just as bad as Haaretz, just as bad as the New York Nazi Times site, just as bad as Al Jazeera. It's like Al Jazeera in Hebrew, Ynet. Unbelievably evil. And that's his wife. That's his wife. And he's supposed to be the Likudnik? He's in Likud, he's a right winger. That's a right winger. You've got to be kidding. And when he's in America, you know what Silvan Shalom says? He says, don't call me Silvan. My name is Steve. Call me Steve. He wants to be known as Steve. If someone calls him Silvan, he says, lo. My name is Steve. His name is Steve. Steve. What a jerk. Anyway, the self-hating vermin that run Israel. This self-hating evil vermin. It's absolutely beyond description. And now Gematria writes, evil is the Meretz party, unquote. Oh, the Meretz party is, that's a party that favors the destruction of Israel. That's a party whose leader, Yossi Sarid, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, said that the that the Intifada and the PLO terrorist murder, mass murder of Jews, was something they support because they're fighting for Arab independence. Arab independence? That's what they said. It's Arab independence. It's your war of independence. And he expressed support for the Arab terrorist mass murderers. He said, you're fighting a war of independence. That's like somebody in America. Can you imagine in America if we had a political party that was saying, you know, I agree with Al-Qaeda and what they did on 9/11 because they're fighting for Muslim independence. I mean, this is unbelievable. And they sit in the Israeli Knesset. And Rabbi Kahana was banned. And I'm not allowed to even set foot in Israel. And now you ask, can you tell us about MK, member of Knesset, Nitzan Horowitz? Okay, he's a member of the Meretz party, by the way, Nitzan Horowitz. Yimach shmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav. He's also a declared homosexual. He's very proud to be a sodomite. He's a declared homosexual. Spends all of his time trying to invite homosexuals into the Knesset and inviting them all over the place. He has pride and gay pride days in the Knesset. I mean, just he tries to force Jewish religious schools to teach about so-called gay pride. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he talks about tolerance, so we have to be tolerant. This is tolerance, forcing Jewish religious schools are supposed to teach about gays. I mean, this is called tolerance. I mean, that's like saying that religious Jews should move the Holy Temple to Sodom and Gomorrah, chas v'chalila. I mean, just unbelievably evil. Of course, he supports the Arab Muslim Nazis, and of course, he wants to destroy Israel, and of course, he's against the Jewish state. By the way, literally, they're against the Jewish state. They say Israel should become a state of all of her citizens, not a Jewish state, a state of all of her citizens. Medinat kol ezracheya. Lo medina yehudit, ela medinat kol ezracheya. Israel should become a state of all of her citizens. In other words, all the Arabs, the Ethiopian Jews are our brothers, but the Arabs, the Sudanese blacks, and all the Africans that are now flooding into Israel, all these other groups, they should come in, they should become the majority, and then Israel become a state of all of her citizens, won't have a Jewish state anymore. That's their proposal. They're allowed to sit in the Knesset. They control the news media. They control the Supreme Court, people with this unbelievable anti-Semitic mentality. They control the media, they control the Supreme Court, they control the big companies, they control everything. I'm not allowed to even set foot in Israel to try to save the Jewish people and the Jewish state. That's the Israel of today. Anyway, thank you very much, Gematria. If that is an upside down world, then I don't know what is. But someday there'll be justice. Mark my words, someday there'll be justice. Anyway, thank you, Gematria. And now we go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, "What are your thoughts on Mormonism and the Mormons?" Unquote. Well, I think it's a strange religion. You know, they believe that the founder of their religion was in upstate New York when he suddenly had a revelation, and he saw the Ten Commandments, I think, written on a mountain in New York, and yeah, I mean, some of the things they believe, Jesus and Satan are brothers, and people will eventually become gods, and they'll be in charge of various planets. Each person will have their own planet. I mean, just, you know, I think it's a strange, very, very strange religion. Let's put it that way. But Maimonides, as strange as it is, and as bizarre as it is, I'll take the Mormon candidate, Mitt Romney, over the Muslim Nazi candidate, Barack Hussein Osama, any day of the week. I prefer if we didn't have either one. I didn't want Romney as the Republican candidate, but we're stuck with him. So at this point, we must support Romney. Anyway, thank you, Maimonides. And now we go to the great Ephraim, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, what do you think the Jewish people should do to protect themselves and prevent attacks from Nazi muzzies since the government won't?" Unquote. Well, first of all, every Jew belongs in Israel. It says in the Talmud that a Jew who lives outside of Israel is as if he has no God, and a Jew who lives in Israel is as if he has a God. Every Jew is commanded to live in Israel. If Jews live in the land of Israel, that's better for them. That's number one. Number two, those Jews who unfortunately, and in violation of Torah law, continue to live outside of Israel. And again, I love the Jewish people, but they're making a terrible, terrible mistake by living outside of Israel. Those Jews who do continue to live outside of Israel should be armed. They should, first of all, they should be trained, they should be armed, they should join their local NRA or some other gun club and learn how to use weapons, and they should try to acquire firearms. In places like New York City, it's very hard to carry firearms. You got to go through all types of difficulties, but there are Jews who live in places where you can easily acquire firearms. People should acquire firearms. They should learn how to shoot and how to use them properly and should be armed. In addition to that, Jews should learn how to fight with their hands. Jews should learn, whether it's boxing or street fighting or martial arts, that's something good for Jews. And by the way, everything I'm saying about Jews here is also good for righteous Gentiles. Righteous Gentiles should also acquire firearms, learn how to shoot, and learn how to fight, learn how to defend themselves. It's always useful. Anyway, thank you very much, Ephraim. Great question. And now we go to the great Say No to Islam, who writes, and I quote, "What are your thoughts on one, Omar Sharif?" Unquote. Okay, Omar Sharif. Well, you know that my family lived in Egypt, so I don't like Egyptian Muslims. You know that. I'm very familiar, unfortunately, with Egyptian Muslims, and I don't like them. And he is an Egyptian Muslim. He said the Jews believe that if you're not Jewish, that you have to be Jewish to go to paradise. And the Christians believe you have to be Christian to go to paradise, and the Muslims believe you have to be Muslim to go to paradise. He was trying to show how open-minded he is. So he said, you know, I don't agree with any of that. You shouldn't have to say you're one or the other to go to paradise. The only problem is, in his little comparison, he was wrong. The Jews do not say you have to be Jewish to go to paradise. Righteous Gentiles will also have eternal life in paradise according to the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion is a very tolerant religion. The vast majority of people in the next world will not be Jewish. So it's just one of the statements he made. But anyway, I don't know. I'm not thrilled with someone who calls him, but despite making that statement, he still refers to himself as a Muslim and he's an Egyptian. And those are not my favorite people, to say the least. And now, Say No to Islam also writes to Morgan Freeman, unquote. Oh, what a... I mean, he is just another affirmative action racist and anti-Semite who campaigned for Barack Hussein Osama in 2008 and then said that the Tea Party are all racists. He accuses the Tea Party of being racists. I mean, you know, the nerve of him to make that statement. This is a guy who supports Barack Hussein Osama, who went to Jeremiah Wright's church for 20 years, who went to Louis Farrakhan's Nazi rally, who is best friends with Jew-hating, racist hate-mongers like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and he talks and he says the Tea Party are racist? When did the Tea Party do what Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Louis Farrakhan, and Jeremiah Wright have done, what Barack Hussein Obama stands for? I mean, what a nerve. But he gets away with it. And he's a Hollywood personality, and he's a director, and he gets all this money from all these sick whites to produce stupid, idiotic things. Because this country pays off certain groups. Even if there are people in the groups who are retarded, with IQs in the single digits, all they have to do is put their hand out and they collect millions solely because of their race and their ethnicity. That's the insanity we have in the world today. Anyway, thank you, Say No to Islam. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss your thoughts about the key speeches at the Democrat National Convention in terms of the impact on the 2012 presidential election," unquote. I think the issue here, EB, as I mentioned in my opening, is media bias. because I thought Barack Hussein Obama's speech was awful. I didn't think it was a good speech. I really don't think he made a good speech. I think Mitt Romney's speech was actually better than Obama's speech. And yet the media, you know, the media so elevated the Democrat convention and did everything they could to make the Democrat convention like some wonderful gathering. Bill Clinton made the best speech of the Democrat convention. That there's no question about. Bill Clinton is a very dangerous person. I mean, you see what a powerful demagogue and an effective speaker he is. I mean, he's the ultimate con artist. He's a complete con artist, a pathological liar, a serial liar. But he's very good at it. And people forgot already that this guy only lies. People have already forgotten it. Because people's memory, most Americans have have a memory that of about 5 minutes. And so he made his usual con job, demagogic speech, Bill Clinton. If not for media bias, the media would have been saying, hey, look, Clinton's speech is so much better than Obama's. Obama's is such a letdown. It's so terrible. And it would have hurt Obama. But instead, the media did everything they could to pump up Obama. That was the big issue. And Michelle Obama. I mean, I can't believe that when she shows her face on national television that doesn't hurt Obama's candidacy. And yet it doesn't. The American people are insane. How could they? Have anybody seen her brother? You ever see her brother? I mean, this is the type of people I'm talking about. Her biological brother. I mean, why would white working class people vote for something like this? This is just insane. These are such obvious haters. She's the one who said, for the first time in my life, I was proud to be an American. She was for the first time in her life, she was proud to be an American when they were voting for her husband for president. In other words, she was ashamed to be an American before then. She hated America before then. And her husband were members of Jeremiah Wright's church and were involved in all these activities. I mean, how could anybody who's half sane fall for this? How stupid could people be? Anyway, thank you, EB. Let's hope, EB, that we can still turn the situation around, God willing. And as always, I loved speaking to our great JTFers. Until next week, Shalom.